Let us turn together to the chapter that we have been reading, the 8th chapter of the book of the Revelation. We need help from the Lord this day as much as at any other time, and maybe for that matter more than any other time. Let us bow with our Bibles open in front of us. It's always a good thing to pray over the open page of the Bible, and I hope that if you learn nothing more in these meetings, you will learn the practice of praying over the Word of God. Pray before you read. Pray before you study. Pray as you read and pray as you study. Pray the Word of God into your soul. And then pray that word up to high heaven. The best prayers the saints of God can offer are those prayers that are founded on and prompted by the holy word of God. Let us ask then the Lord to speak to us today. We should ask for the spirit of prayer, for hearts prepared of God. How necessary it is for us to pray in that fashion. Just you pray to them, Lord, prepare my heart. Give me the spirit of prayer. Give me an inquiring heart. Make the word of God to be a blessing to my soul. And the preacher will have to pray that the Lord will fill him and anoint him with the Holy Spirit of God. O Lord, we do bow before Thee. We ask Thee to come and take the precious things that Thou hast written for our admonition. Make them plain and clear to us. For, Lord, our hearts are dull, and oftentimes we are hard of hearing. Lord, give wisdom. Give us all counsel. Give us counsel in the things of God. Give us wisdom to know the mind of the Lord in even the everyday things in our lives. We ask Thee for counsel from heaven. We pray that we may have the joy of holding communion with Thee. Shut us in with Thyself, even now already as we pray. Lord, close the world out from our thoughts. Every extraneous thing, we pray that Thou wilt close us in with Thyself. O Lord, may we hear nothing but the voice of the Lord. May we dwell upon nothing but the Word of the Lord. We pray for Thy presence and power. Lord, anoint this preacher with the Holy Ghost and power. Grant that he may be filled with the Spirit of God for the preaching of the Word of God. O Lord, we would fear to handle Thy Word. We would fear ever to stand in the pulpit before the assembled congregation and deliver any kind of message without having the unction of God upon us. We pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost with power. We pray for God's message. And we pray for power to preach it too. O Lord, write Thy Word into our hearts. Write it into our characters. May we truly learn of Thee. Lord, may we hear Thy voice today. Give this preacher help from the sanctuary. Set him on fire. O Lord, touch our lips with a live coal from off the altar. We pray that there may be life in the risen Lord for all of the saints of God this day. Bless all who have come. May we hear with the heart. And we pray that the voice of the Lord may ring out even long after this meeting is through. Speak to our hearts. Glorify the Lord Jesus. Make Thy presence richly known to us. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The 8th chapter of the Revelation announces the opening of the seventh seal. Verse 1, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. The opening of the seventh seal embraces chapters 8 through to 11. The opening of the seventh seal is to be remembered because this seventh seal commences a new series in the book of the Revelation. I refer to the sounding of the seven trumpets. And these seven trumpets are covered in those chapters that relate to the opening of the seventh seal, namely chapters 8, 9, 10, and 11. The trumpet has a long history in Scripture. The first reference to the sounding of the trumpet being in the book of Exodus, chapter 19. It may please you to turn to that passage, for it is interesting to see the connection in which the trumpet appears in the first instance when it occurs in Scripture. Exodus chapters 19 and 20. Chapter 19, first of all, and verse 13, advises the people to stay away from the mountain of God. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. They were to come to the mount. They were not to touch it. In a sense, the people here are to learn that they are separated from God, that they cannot by nature make an approach unto God in His infinite holiness. This mountain of Sinai is the place where God has chosen to reveal His glory, the fullness of His power. And when the trumpet sounds from heaven above, the people are advised to assemble themselves around about the mountain. They're also cautioned not to approach so near as to touch it. Even should a living thing touch this mountain, it is to die. The people learn the corruption of their own nature, that they are separated from God, that they cannot in themselves make an approach unto God. But although they are separated from God, although they are in a sense afar off from Him, they will still hear the sound of the trumpet when it commences. Look at verse 19. And in between times, Moses has conducted the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they are standing at the bottom of the mount. And Mount Sinai trembles, smoke rises from its summit. The Lord has descended upon it in fire. The whole mountain is quaking greatly. These things we learn in the 18th verse. And verse 19 reads as follows. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him, Thy voice, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. The sounding of the trumpet in this instance, the first in Scripture, is of special interest to us all. The trumpet sounds to summon the people to assemble themselves before God. This trumpet, when it waxes louder and louder, heralds the coming of the Lord of glory. The Lord appears in the fullness of His power. He descends from heaven. His feet stand upon the top of the mount. The mount itself trembles in the presence of its Creator and Maker. And the people tremble when they hear the voice of the Lord. The mountain then is the scene where God's glory appears. The trumpet heralds the revelation of God's power and the fullness of His glory. Chapter 20 and verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings, the noise of the trumpet, they heard that, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. You see the effect that the trumpet had. The effect that the revelation of God's glory had when the Lord came down from heaven and stood upon that mount, the people stood afar off. They stood as those separated from God. They stood as those who, in and of themselves, could not make an approach unto Him in His infinite holiness. This trumpet, as you'll see, I may mention this in passing, is by no means a silent instrument. When the trumpet sounds to announce the coming of the God of heaven and power and the fullness of glory, this trumpet is even heard afar off. If you look there at the 18th verse, this is where we discover the people. And some of the finest among God's people have thought to maintain that the trumpet of the Lord may sound in a coming day and somehow be silent. But men and women, with all respect, there is no such a thing as a silent trumpet. The trumpet is an instrument specially designed to carry its message afar, and even those who are afar off will hear its sound. And the sound of the trumpet heralds the approach of the King. It informs the people that the Lord of glory has come down and revealed Himself on the top of that mount in the fullness of His power. And that is a significant fact that we have in the book of Exodus. If you turn to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 10, it's also an important chapter with respect to the sounding of the trumpet. And I will at this time ask you to look at the 9th verse of the chapter. When you go home today, read the earlier part of the chapter as well. The trumpet sounds to call the people together. It is the trumpet of the assembly of the people. But the trumpet is also designed to sound an alarm, to announce the day of battle, to call the people together to war. The trumpet sounds to announce the approach of the enemy. And this especially governs the land of Israel. Verse 9 of Numbers chapter 10. And if ye go to war in your land, mark those words, in your land, what land is that? That's the land of Israel. That's the land of promise. The sounding of the trumpet in Numbers chapter 10 and verse 9 governs life in the land of Israel. It has to do with the existence of the nation of Israel in the land. And when the trumpet of alarm sounds, this announces the day of conflict, the day of battle. But men and women, this trumpet is not only sounded in the land of promise to indicate that the day of battle has commenced, it has a rather more far-reaching significance, as you'll see. Let's read the whole verse. And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial, or a means of remembrance, before your God. I am the Lord your God. The trumpet has tremendous significance. In the first place, it heralded the coming of the Lord with glory and power, when He came to stand upon the mount, when He revealed Himself unto His people. The trumpet is to sound in the land of Israel in the day of conflict and of war. And the sounding of the trumpet will call all the powers of heaven to intervene on behalf of God's ancient people. The trumpet will call upon God to remember Moses, to remember Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The trumpet will call upon God to remember His covenant with His ancient people. The trumpet will call upon God Almighty to intervene in that land on behalf of those who are His. For it is a day of battle. Now, all these things are of tremendous significance, and we should not overlook these things. Moreover, the 10th verse is very informative, and it says, "In every sacrifice at the beginning of the month, and in your solemn days, and in the days of gladness, blow with the trumpet. Let the trumpet sound be heard to celebrate the goodness of God, to rejoice in His love." And listen, if God comes in the fullness of His glory and power to intervene on the behalf of His people, shouldn't we rejoice? Haven't we something to be glad about when we can say, "Yes, the Lord listens to the sound of the trumpet, and all heaven responds"? God comes to intervene on the behalf of His people. And so then the trumpet was to sound at the beginning of the month, in all the special days and over the special offerings, that those offerings might be remembered before the Lord in their typical significance. For all the offerings and the sacrifices foretold of the coming Redeemer and pointed to Christ, the slain Lamb Himself. They were remembered then in their worship before the Lord. I have some other references. I will not ask you to turn to them unless you especially desire to look them up. But I'm looking at Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 5. "Declare ye in Judah, and publish in Jerusalem, and say, Blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together, and say, Assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defense cities. Hear the trumpet sounds in the land of Israel. The trumpet sounds to assemble the people. The trumpet sounds to give them the alarm of the day of war. They are to assemble themselves and to go into the defense cities." In the 19th verse of the same chapter 4 of Jeremiah, the prophet is saying, halfway through the verse, "I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet and the alarm of war." The trumpet sounds as an alarm. It sounds especially in the day of battle. In Hosea chapter 8 and verse 1, if I can locate the place, the verse reads as follows, "Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law." Set the trumpet to thy mouth. The trumpet announces the coming of the enemy. The trumpet announces the day of battle and the day of alarm in the land of Israel. And the trumpet also reminds the nation of the holiness of God and the coming of the Lord eventually on their behalf. In Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 14 through to 16, the prophet tells us of the day of the Lord being near, a day that hasteth greatly. "The voice of the day of the Lord, when the mighty man will cry there bitterly." And we read about that cry in Revelation chapter 6, didn't we? When the mighty men and the captains and the kings, practically every strata of society is represented, from the highest to the lowest, from the kings to the serfs, that they cried to the rocks and to the mountains. They cried bitterly, as Zephaniah puts it in chapter 1 of his prophecy. "The mighty man shall cry there bitterly." That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. The trumpet of alarm announces the day of battle. I have merely taken one or two references from the Old Testament. All of them relate to the sounding of the trumpet. I've gone to the book of Exodus, to Numbers, and from thence to the minor prophets, spanning hundreds of years at a time, showing you that the trumpet is often mentioned in the Bible, and the trumpet is mentioned many, many more times than I have indicated today by these few references to the Old Testament. But in every instance, you will notice there is a correspondence between what we learn compared with the first references in Exodus and in Numbers. The trumpet sounds to herald the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord in judgment. The trumpet sounds to assemble the people of Israel in the land, to tell them that it is a day of alarm, a day when the enemy has entered in. In the New Testament, the reference to the trumpet is very much similar. For the Lord Jesus Christ, we're told in that great passage to the Thessalonians, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The Bible also tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that the dead in Christ, when our Lord will come, the dead in Christ will rise at the last trump. The very last trumpet which is to sound will be the trumpet of resurrection for the saints of God who will rise to be with the Lord forever. Oh, blessed day! This trumpet that is referred to in the Scriptures, the trumpet that is associated in the New Testament as well as in the Old, with the coming of the Lord. With that day when His feet will stand not this time on Sinai, as He did in the days of Moses, but the next time around upon the Mount of Olives. And that mountain, just as Sinai did, will tremble under the feet of the Almighty. And the Lord shall be king in that day. The trumpet will sound. The Bible says, the earth will tremble, and the mighty men will cry out bitterly in that day. When we come to the book of the Revelation, these are the things we have to keep in mind. Revelation chapter 8, in the opening of the seventh seal, announces the series of the seven trumpets. Let us keep in mind these things that I have been stressing today, and at the risk of further repetition, I'll still go on and say, the sounding of the trumpet announces the coming of heaven's king. The sounding of the trumpet prepares the earth to see the Lord in the fullness of His kingly power and heavenly glory. The sounding of the trumpet gathers together Israel in the land. The sound of the trumpet is a day of alarm. It is a day when there is war in the land of promise. And men and women, when we come to Revelation chapter 8, when we start to examine these seven trumpets as they sound one after another, these are the trumpets to be sounded in series that announce the coming of heaven's king. These are the trumpets that will assemble the nation of Israel in the land. These are the trumpets that will sound to herald the beginning of that day of alarm and battle. For the day represented here at this juncture in man's history is the day of the world's Armageddon. We have come at this point to the darkest hours in human history, when under the evil fascination of the Antichrist, the nations of men will assemble themselves in the land of promise with one object in view: to wipe that nation of Israel out of existence. We have seen how in the previous chapter, chapter 6, all those mighty men are found there in the land of Israel. When they sense that the coming of the Lord is now due to take place at any instant, we discover in fear that these men are crying out to the rocks and to the mountains lest they should see the face of Him who sits upon heaven's throne. And that's the day to which we come. And God's holding back, as it were, the revelation of the King and His glory, so that we can begin to sense in these chapters 8 through to 11 the kind of upheavals that will take place on the earth when wicked men who have in their hardness of heart, in their atheistic unbelief, in their perverseness of soul, in their bitterness against Israel and against the Bible and against the God of heaven, when they have dared to enter into His land, into the land of Israel, these are the trumpets that are about to sound to announce the beginning of the day of battle, the great day of the battle of God Almighty. The sounding of the trumpet will be as a memorial in heaven. This trumpet will call upon God to intervene on the behalf of His ancient people. These trumpets, then, are not without effect. One could read through chapter 8 and maybe dismiss it as a chapter of little importance. But I would have you note the significance of the trumpets. How in verse 1 of chapter 8, before the trumpets are heard at all, there is silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. All heaven is hushed. The voices of the angels, the voices of the myriad hosts of God's redeemed, who have been sounding out the praises of the Lamb upon the throne, the hymn singing of heaven has stopped. And an angel moves. I think God is showing us in this chapter, even if we find some things difficult to take in, God is showing us that we have come to a very important juncture in human affairs. The trumpets are a memorial. They call upon all heaven to intervene on the behalf of His people. And all heaven is hushed to silence as the angels prepare to sound the trumpet prior to the coming of the King. Look into the details of the chapter. The sounding of the trumpets is clearly related to the prayers of God's people. As you'll learn from verse 3, another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer with it the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. The smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. The angel is seen to take his censer, fill it with the fire of the altar, and cast it down upon the earth, whereupon there are voices and thunderings, lightnings and an earthquake. The seven angels at this point prepare themselves to sound. We're reminded here of a familiar truth. How the prayers of God's people on earth are remembered in heaven. God keeps the prayers of His people. The prayers are kept in the golden censer. And God is showing us how, even though we may oftentimes forget the petitions that we have brought before His face, God does not forget the prayers of His people. These prayers are precious in the sight of God, for they're kept in the golden vessel. You'll notice that they're fragrant, for they go up with the incense. The sweet smelling savor of the prayers of God's people is emphasized in this portion,
Moreover, you may see how efficacious the prayers of God's people are. They are the equivalent of the trumpet. If the trumpet sounds in heaven to call God Almighty to action, then the prayers of God's people offered on earth are likewise calling upon God to intervene and to make bare His mighty arm. Now the prayers of God's people are directed against the ungodliness of society. The prayers of God's people are directed against the apostasy of today. The prayers of God's people are directed against the bloodshed and the violence of this so-called modern age. You'll notice that the prayers of God's people are not for the apostasy. God doesn't call people to pray for the apostasy. He calls people to pray against it. If we pray for the unclean thing, then we're trying to get God to bless what He has already cursed. We don't pray for the apostasy, we pray against it. And these prayers that are seen here, and even the fire of the altar, where the prayers are offered, is taken and cast upon the earth as if the very prayers of God's people were a judgment upon society. The prayers of God's people take this form. Lord, stop the apostasy. Lord, stop the ungodliness of today. Lord, intervene in our behalf. Make bare Thy mighty arm. These prayers, from their very form, coincide with the trumpets. For the trumpets sound in heaven, and they also call upon God to intervene, especially to intervene on behalf of His ancient people, Israel. And when you look at the sections, four of the trumpets are sounded here in this chapter. Look at how the first trumpet sounds with respect to the earth, and the earth receives the brunt of the first blow. A third of the trees and the green grass struck by the judgment of God, the sea, in verse 8, is next to come under judgment. A star falls from heaven. Its name is wormwood, and bitterness, and death passes in consequence of that judgment in verse 10. In verse 12, the very powers of the heavens are shaken, and those things who dwell on the earth, we're told, the creatures that have life also are subject to death. That ninth verse is very interesting. The creatures which were in the sea and had life died. Literally, the words read like this: those things which had life, those things which were holding on to life. It might even be possible for men and women to drift into such a state of ungodliness, into such a state of total abandonment of the things of God, that they're just like things, but they're hanging on to life, holding on to it for all they're worth. And yet no matter how they hang on to life, the time will come when by the judgment of God that life will be terminated. You can't hang on to life forever. My message is finished, but I will say this. There's nothing in the world for sinful men to cling to. There's nothing in the world for you to say, well, this is my heaven and I'm going to live for today. You have nothing to live for. Those who had life, who were hanging on to life, in the end couldn't hang on to it any longer. We're all here for a little season. We need to prepare to meet God. If the trumpet sounds today, let it be a trumpet sound of preparation. Let it call upon us to assemble ourselves before God to prepare to meet Him. For the Lord is coming. And He's coming for a prepared people. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord? The Lord is certainly coming. And these things of today, they certainly have an end. Only what's done for Jesus will last. Let's bow in prayer. And I pray before we leave, Lord, speak to my heart. Now, how short life is. It's a vain thing to live for the world. You really need to know the Lord. Be sure that you do. Lord, abide with us today. Speak on to our hearts in Jesus' name.